You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home, streaming live on our website at radiomaria.us, on the Radio Maria USA mobile app, on your telephone at 1-631-359-8743, and on the radio in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL in Hammocks, Miami, in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ in Alexandria, 1360 AM KNIR in New Iberia, 89.7 FM KBIO in Natchitoches, and 91.1 FM KOJO in Lake Charles. In Mississippi, on 88.1 FM WOLM in D'Iberville-Biloxi. In Ohio, on 1600 AM WULM in Springfield, with translator W277AO 103.3 FM in Enon, Dayton, and 88.7 FM WHJM in Anna. In Pennsylvania, on 88.1 FM WHHN in Hollidaysburg, Altoona. In Texas, on 1250 AM KDEI in Port Arthur, and in Wisconsin at 91.3 FM WRMW in Peshtigo.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you The School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone to The School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And our prayer is going to be a supplication taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to be here. It's, what a joy. What an awakening. We're grateful to have awakened today, physically, as well as spiritually. I'm truly blessed to be alive at this time. You know, here we are on the Mother, the eve of the Annunciation of our Lord. Great, great feast day. And I found some really interesting things out, Mother, about God loves the number 25. He loves March 25th, and I'd just like to just share a couple of thoughts here that I found. It's really incredible. Of course, we know that the Annunciation of the Lord, the eve is the solemnity. It's tomorrow. The first joyful mystery of the Rosary. Tomorrow, the Church will celebrate the day when the Archangel Gabriel requested Our Lady to be the Mother of God, requested her fiat, and she gave it, of course. Mary accepts and declares herself to be the handmaid of the Lord. The Annunciation is one of the three most ancient feasts of Our Lady. The feast probably dates from the Council of Ephesus in 431, when Our Lady was proclaimed the Mother of God. This proclamation was because of a heresy which denied Mary's divine motherhood. The feast is also known by many other names over the years, including the Feast of the Incarnation, the beginning of the Redemption, the Conception of Christ, the Announcing of the Christ. You know, Mother, this is what I found really interesting. Again, God loves the 25th, the significance of the date of March 25th. Number one, tradition and ancient martyrologies point to Adam and Eve each being created on March 25th. Interesting. Jesus conceived at the Annunciation to the Blessed Virgin Mary on March 25th. Number three, St. John the Baptist's beheading was on March 25th, precisely 1 year prior to Jesus' death. Number four, Herod's birthday was also on March 25th, and St. John the Baptist was beheaded during that party. Number five, Jesus died on Good Friday, which was also March 25th. Number six, consequently, the Feast of the Good Thief, St. Dismas, is March 25th, as Jesus promised him from the cross. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Number 7, Our Lady announced to St. Bernadette at Lourdes that she is the Immaculate Conception. You guessed it, on March 25th. Number 8, the ancient Martyrology is assigned to the 25th of March, the fall of Lucifer, like lightning. Number 9, March 25th, the passing of Israel through the Red Sea. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And number 10, March 25th, the immolation, the sacrifice of Isaac by his father Abraham. And by the way, also, St. Patrick arrived in Ireland on March 25th, 433. Amazing. Oh, in Baltimore, the state in the United States, actually had a feast day, had a legal holiday, which was on March 25th, to honor Our Lady. Again, you can't make this stuff up. Mother, sisters, how are you today?
March 25th, too. God likes it. We all like it, right?
I know. I like every day I wake up. But yeah, God loves it.
Every day is a gift from God. Every day, you know.
So great to see you, mother and sisters.
Yeah. And that's my title is Annunciation, Mother Gabrielle Marie of the Annunciation. So it's a special feast for me. And I think the old feast of St. Gabriel was today. So this would be my feast day before the calendar change after Vatican II. So I'm celebrating St. Gabriel today. And Sister Scholastic reminded me about that. And then tomorrow, the Annunciation. But it's a great day, the Annunciation. I was just reading in Our Lady's book here, day 19. It says, now, child of my heart, pay attention to me and listen. Several days before the descent of the eternal word upon earth, I could see the heavens open and the Son of the Divine Word at its doors, as though to look out for the one upon whom he was to take his flight, to render himself celestial prisoner of one creature. Oh, how beautiful it was to see him at the doors of heaven, as though on the lookout to spy the fortunate creature who was to host her creator. The divine persons of the most holy Trinity no longer looked at the earth as estranged to them, because there was little Mary, who by possessing the divine will had formed its divine kingdom. Mary, in whom the word could descend safely as if into his own residence, in which he could find heaven and the many sons of the many acts of divine will done within my soul. The divinity overflowed with love. And removing the mantle of justice which they had worn with the creature for so many centuries, the divine persons covered themselves with the mantle of infinite mercy and decreed among themselves the descent of the word. They were in the act of sounding the hour of the fulfillment. At this sound, heaven and earth were astounded, and all stood at attention to be spectators of such a great excess of love. And a prodigy of unheard of. Your mama felt ignited with love. And echoing the love of my creator, I wanted to form one single sea of love so that the word might descend upon earth within it. My prayers were incessant. And while I was praying in my little room, an angel came, sent from heaven as messenger of the great king. He came before me and bowing, he hailed me. Hail, O Mary, our queen. The divine fiat has filled you with grace. He has already pronounced his fiat, for he wants to descend. He is just behind my shoulders, but he wants your fiat to form the fulfillment of his fiat. At such a great announcement, so much desired by me, although I had never thought I was to be the chosen one, I was stupefied and I hesitated one instant. But the angel of the Lord told me, do not fear, our queen, for you have found grace before God. You have conquered your creator. Therefore, to complete the victory, pronounce your fiat. I pronounce my fiat, and oh marvel, the two fiats fused together and the divine word descended into me, my fiat receiving the same value of the divine fiat from the seed of my humanity, formed the tiny little humanity which was to enclose the word. And so the great prodigy of the incarnation was accomplished. O power of the supreme fiat, you raised me so high as to render me powerful, to the point of being able to create within me, myself, that humanity which was to enclose the eternal word, whom heaven and earth could not contain. The heavens were shaken, and all creation assumed the attitude of feast, exulting with joy. They echoed around the little house of Nazareth to give homage and obsequies to the creator made man. And in their mute language, they said, O prodigy of prodigies, which only a God can do, immensity has become little, power has become powerless, his unreachable height lowered itself to the abyss of the womb of a virgin, and he is little and immense, powerful and powerless, strong and weak at the same time. My dear child, you cannot comprehend what your mama felt in the act of the incarnation of the word. Everyone yearned for and awaited the fiat, which I could call omnipotent. Now, dear child, listen to me, how much you should take to heart doing the divine will and living from it. My power still exists. Let me pronounce my fiat over your soul. But in order to do this, I want your own. One alone cannot do true good. The greatest works are always done between two. God himself did not want to do it by himself, but wanted me together with him in order to form the great prodigy of the incarnation. In my fiat and in theirs was the life of the man God formed. The destiny of mankind was restored. Heaven was no longer closed, and all goods were enclosed between the two fiats. Therefore, let us say together, fiat, fiat, and within my maternal love, I will enclose in you the life of the divine will. So Our Lady longs so much for us to enter into the life of the divine will. She gave her fiat, and she will give us the grace to give our fiat. It took special grace for Our Lady to give her fiat all her life. She suffered more than anyone else could ever suffer. So Louisa suffered a lot, but I think Our Lady suffered even more than Louisa, because Our Lady suffered the same sufferings as Jesus, and no one could have suffered as much as he suffered. And yet in all that suffering, she was able to give her fiat. So, and I know we're weak. She was conceived without original sin. We're born with original sin. We're like Louisa. But Louisa could do it. If Louisa could give her fiat, so can we. We just need the grace. And Our Lady is there to take us by the hand, to lead us throughout the day, to give us the grace to live moment by moment in God's divine will. Every moment of our lives is a moment given to us, a special gift from God. And we just want to give it back to him with our fiat every moment. And you don't have to be saying fiat all day long, but you say it in the morning, Lord, I want to give my fiat every second of this day to you. Whatever I'm doing, I want to give it to you, Lord. I give my fiat now. For the next 24 hours, you know, and do it every day. And God, he's going to take you up on it. And you'll be living in his divine will more totally in that way, you know.
He's going to take our intention for sure. You know, you mentioned Mother about our Blessed Mother. You know, she is there to hold our hands. Again, going back to the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31, she tells us, quote, be certain that from heaven, I will not leave you. I shall not leave you as an orphan, but I will guide you in all things, from the least to your greatest needs. All you have to do is invoke me, and immediately I will come and offer you my motherly assistance, end quote. And that's why I think Pope Francis is doing the consecration today. He's invoking our Blessed Lady, and she will not say no, Mother.
Yeah, you know, because we don't see Our Lady. We are not sure it happens. We think heaven is so far away they don't hear us. You know, so we say these things, and I hope they heard, but you know, I'm not going to hold my breath on it, because, you know, we want to see things happening. We want miracles. We want, and you know, and the miracle is, it's all spiritual. It's in your heart and soul. We don't see it, so we're not sure it's happening. But you got to believe God, you got to trust in him, believe his word, and know that if you desire this, he's going to give it to you. You just have to keep desiring, keep requesting, and he will never be able to say no to you like he can't say no to his mother.
And the near and far of God, at least we can say that. Sister. Hi, Sister Francesca.
Hi, Peter. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I was just thinking it also happens gradually. You know, I think sometimes we get concerned because it's like we're not transformed overnight, but the Lord's such a gentleman. He can't do it. I mean, he can change us in an instant if he wanted, but he wants our free will. Like Mother was reading before, you know, he wanted Our Lady's fiat. He wants our fiat. And the thing is, we're not free enough yet in order to give our total fiat. We give our intention and our desire, but we're still so attached. We're still so weak to so many things. And we're really incapable of detaching totally. We're incapable of making ourselves perfect. Only Jesus could do that. But he doesn't ask us to like flip everything around all in one day. It's like every day, what's that little fiat he's asking us? And those little fiats all combined together are going to eventually add up to one big fiat. But he's just such a loving father. It's just he's spoon feeding us. We're in the kindergarten, so we don't have to worry that we're not there yet overnight. It's not about being there. You know, it's about the journey. It's about the yeses that he's asking for us.
Sometimes he has no journey. Like, for example, St. Paul and St. Mary Magdalene. I mean, their journey was very short. It was instant. But again, you know, the divine will, God can give it to us instantly also, but he weans us because this is so very important to him and to us as well. Hi, sister.
Oh, hello, Peter. Hello, everybody. My meditation today is kind of go along with the thread that Mother and Sister Francesca's mentioned earlier, how the Holy Spirit really worked on this one. Because I'm like, what is going on here? But anyway, my meditation today was May 6th, 1937, volume 34. And this is something to do with peace. And the Lord is asking us to have this peace. And with the situation going on, a lot of chaos going on in our news media and everything surrounding us, I think this is an appropriate reading. And I'll just go straight to what Jesus was telling Louisa. And he says, "My daughter, take care, because I do not know what to make of a soul who is not peaceful. Peace is my celestial dwelling, the little bell that with its vibrating and sweet sounds calls my volition to reign, is peace. Peace possesses voices so powerful that it calls the whole of heaven, places it at attention in order to let it be a spectator of the beautiful conquest of the operation of the divine volition in the creature. Peace puts to flight the fearful tempest and makes arise a celestial smile of the saints, the most beautiful enchantment of a springtime that never ends. Therefore, do not give me the sorrow of not seeing you peace." So the Lord doesn't want us to have turbulence. He wants us to be calm and be peaceful and to trust him. And the world gives us a false peace. God's peace is the only true peace. And so he continues to tell Louisa, "My beloved daughter, leave yourself and come into my will. We feel the extreme need of making known where our love reaches for the one who lives in it." I'll pause here because when I read this part, like, Lord, you're perfect. You have everything. What is this that you need? You know, I've never thought that God would have a need. And then I go on, "And so much is our love that with anxiety, we await that she unites herself, identifies herself with our works in order to give her the rights as if they were hers." Now, this is a paradox, because the Lord wants us to have peace and have disturbance, and yet the Lord says that he has anxiety. I'm like, okay, Lord, what is going on here? I'll continue reading, and then I'll explain to you what the Lord told me. And he says, "And since our creative strength is always in act, as she identifies herself with us, as if we were renewing our works, we make a gift to her, and we tell her, they are your works. Do what you want with them. With our works, in your power, you can love us as much as you want. You can give us glory in an infinite way. You can do good to whomever you want. You take the right not only over our works, but over he who has created everything. And we take the right over you because you are already ours. How sweet are these rights of the human littleness in our divine being. They are sweet and loving chains that make us love our creative work with a more intense and stronger love. In our emphasis of love, we keep repeating, how beautiful she is. She is ours, all ours, and we are all hers. Nothing else remains for us than to love each other. We will love her with eternal love, and she will love us with eternal love." So I said, "Lord, you don't want me to have disturbances. You don't want me to have anxiety. And then you tell me you need something that you have anxiety." I realized that, you know, it's not the same anxiety that he's talking about. When we give ourselves wholly to God, who is everything, it is not justice that we have anxiety, because God knows everything. He can do everything. However, we have nothing. We are nothing apart from him, and we are capable of doing anything bad to ourselves because we are given this free will. Mothers talk about free will, you know, the human will. We don't have the divine will on our own. So we are capable of choosing wrong. So that's why God has anxiety, because we can literally choose the bad things. And so that's why it is justice that God will have anxiety. And he does have our need, because he does have need, because we can choose to be away from him. And he needs us to give all of us to him so he can trade it with us, so then we can truly have a union with him. And I continue here as you talk. He talks down below. He continues to talk about how he loves. He created everything for the love of us. And so we do everything for love of him. And he didn't create the sun for the sake of the sun, but he created the sun for us, for Jesus. And so this is the way of giving us a proof of his love is by through creation. And then down the line here, he talks about, he wants us to unite in his suffering. You know, Louisa was meditating on the redemption and he talks about suffering. And this is what Jesus told him. I am within you. I am yours. I am at your disposition. My wounds, my blood, all my sufferings are yours. You can do with me what you want. Rather, do it as magnanimous, as brave, as lover, as my true imitator. Take my blood in order to give it to whomever you want. Take my wounds in order to heal the wounds of sinners. Take my life in order to give the life of grace, of sanctity, of love, of divine will to all souls. Take my death in order to make many souls dead in sin arise again. I give you all the freedom to do it. How to be my daughter, I have given myself, and that is enough. Now, think about those people suffering in Russia and Ukraine. And we can literally take those dying there, those deaths there, those suffering there. Jesus is telling us, we can take all of this and unite it to his redemptive suffering. And then it becomes salvation for them. It becomes redemptive. It becomes a gift to all humanity. And then, so in fact, down the line here, the next paragraph, he says, my paternal tenderness to my children and to your brothers. So basically he said, you think of making everything redound to my glory and how to make me be loved. My will give you the flight in order to make you bring my blood, my wounds, my kisses, my paternal tenderness to my children and to your brothers. So in other words, do the rounds. I love you. I adore you. I glorify you, not only in creation, but in all of the acts, all of the sufferings and all that we do.
Yeah, I think it's, our Lord suffers, as she was talking about, you know, he longs for us to live in his divine will so much. He loves us so much. Our Lady loves us so much. If we could understand how much they suffer in the only way that we don't understand their suffering because they are in heaven, you know, but the longing that they have for us to enter into this and to be with them for all eternity is unbelievable because their love is unbelievable. And so, you know, we just have to really meditate on the love of God for us. If we meditate on the passion, our Lord, I was reading something today in the Divine Will, how Our Lady continually meditated on his passion, you know, and that brought her so much closer and closer and closer, that showed her love for him, you know. So we're going to grow and fall in love with him more and more as we realize how much he suffered for us. And if we were the only person alive, he would have gone through his whole crucifixion just for us, just for me, just for you, for each one of us, you know. That's how much he loves us. And so meditate on the passion and how much he suffered, and you will learn, you will grow and you fall in love with him more and more and more, you know, and give honor, all the honor and glory God deserves, you know. I think making the Stations of the Cross, you can make it really quickly. Some people, you know, you can make the 10 minutes, 15 minute Stations of the Cross, just go on to each mystery, meditate on the mystery while you say on Our Father, or on Our Father, Hail Mary and Glory Be, if you want to make it a little longer, you know. That's all you have to do, you know. And so that's a great thing to do. This one little monk in Kentucky, he was a Trappist. He became very holy. His spiritual director just told him to do the Stations every day. He had a terrible, terrible, terrible temper. And he became so holy in just a short time by making the Stations of the Cross every day.
It's powerful. You know, it just we have so much, Mother. We've got about maybe 2 minutes before break. Anyone else want to share?
I was just saying, as Mother was talking about, we have to recognize how much God loves us. I was listening to the Bible in the Year podcast by Father Mike Schmitz, which is excellent. And and one thing stuck with me in the very beginning when he was going through the book of Genesis, I think it was the first episode, he was talking about how you can tell how you view God by the way you interpret the following line. After Adam and Eve sinned and they were naked, they realized they were naked and they hid themselves. God says, "Who told you you were naked?" So if we're not looking, if we don't have the right relationship with God and we're not looking at him with the right lens, we're going to interpret that line as, who told you you were naked, like with great anger. But Father Mike Schmidt said, he's like, but he's our father. It was like, who told you you were naked? So it's like, I think like when Mother was talking about the suffering that Jesus and Mary go through, because they desire us so much to live in the divine will, it's like, it's that tone of voice. It's that kind of suffering. It's like, I love you so much. You're on your own. You're driving yourself into perdition. You have no idea how happy you can be, how much I love you. And I think too, when we meditate on the passion, of course, we have to have sorrow for our sins that caused that passion. But remember, Jesus is not shaming us there either. He's not angry with us there. In fact, it's the epitome of his love, that every drop of blood, every wound that he suffered, he's just begging us to come to him, to trust him. And to just lose ourselves in that love.
He sends us his greatest gift, his mother. You know, going back to that day 31, I guess I'm stuck there on the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. It states, so great is she, Our Lady, that the heavens have lowered themselves to receive her. No other creature has entered these heavenly regions so adorned, so striking, and so powerful. Indeed, she has supremacy over all. End quote. So hence, our Holy Father invoking our Blessed Mother, once again, tomorrow. It's incredible. Again, you're listening to Radio Maria, Christian Voice in Our Home, founded on the patronage of Our Blessed Mother, so as the School of Mary. Jesus tells us, we finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Peter, someone's microphone was making a lot of noise through the first.
Yeah, that's what they're working on right now. It's a brand new microphone. Like, yeah, I'm hearing the clanking. I know, but it looks like it's doing it on its own because there's nothing. I mean, it's not being moved violently, but they're looking into it right now.
Okay,
Larry, yeah, everything's in. I don't know what the problem is.
I couldn't tell where it was coming from, but
yeah, just shake it in front. Let me see.
Yeah. We're using a new mic right now.
Oh, okay.
Try shaking it, sister. Yeah, that's it.
That's the noise, yeah.
Wait, maybe it went in place.
You can hear something loose.
Something's loose in there.
Sounds like something loose inside the microphone, doesn't it?
So either it's defective, or maybe just when you hand it off and just keep it still so you don't get the clanking. Sorry about that, sisters.
Oh, that's okay.
It might be defective.
You want us to switch?
Loose.
To the other one.
Oh, it's okay. If I kept hearing that.
I'll leave that up to you.
I think we'll make it through the rest of the program.
Okay. Yeah. With Larry, everything is well.
I think it'll be fine.
Okay. Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Mother. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
More bridges to burn. I've seen the tables turn. I'm on the other side, here, and I'm free, free, I finally arrived, here, I'm free to dream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. And I want to welcome everyone back. And again, we're sitting with, once again, Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live via live stream. You know, Mother, we're talking about, we were talking briefly on the consecration that Pope Francis is going to do tomorrow. You know, there's been some controversy. It's been done. It's not been done. You know what? It's almost like you can never love someone too much. You can never say thank you enough. So again, I'd rather not get involved in the little intricacies of that. But really important, I think, is this. Again, let's go back to day 31. I really am stuck. It says, quote, the divine will accomplished in me, this is our Blessed Mother speaking, the great prodigy whereby I was the only creature to enter heaven with the kingdom of the divine will established in my soul. And she did that with her fiat. And I just couldn't help but notice Pope Francis's consecration tomorrow. Let me see if I can bring it up here. And 2 points. This is the last two paragraphs. The next to last paragraph, it states, quote, therefore, Mother of God and our Mother, to your Immaculate Heart, we solemnly entrust and consecrate ourselves, the Church and all humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine. Accept this act that we carry out with confidence and love. Grant that war may end and peace spread throughout the world. The fiat, again, that's what got Our Lady in business. The fiat that arose from your heart opened the doors of history to the Prince of Peace. We trust that through your heart, peace will dawn once more. The second part, the last paragraph in the, of the consecration that our Holy Father is going to pray tomorrow is this, quote, through your intercession, may God's mercy be poured out on the earth and the gentle rhythm of peace to mark our days. Our Lady of the Fiat, on whom the Holy Spirit descended, restore among us the harmony that comes from God. End quote. We are being restored. The gift of the divine will is the restoration of the creature, of the human soul. We're going back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we were created by God, and God's calling us back now. This is incredible. We're not kidding. We say it's a great time to be alive. It really is. Mother, sisters.
So I was thinking today with Radio Maria, I was thinking, yes, St. Gabriel's old feast day today, and then it's the vigil the day before the Annunciation. And then I was thinking, okay, well, let me see, what does Divine Will say about the Annunciation on this date? Well, I looked through the March calendar book, and I didn't really find anything on March 25th, but I did find the passage. It's very short, like two really small paragraphs. But it was more in reference and made me think, well, this is a pretty good passage like for Lent. So I'm just going to switch topics a little bit. This is from Volume 8, March 25th, 1908. Continuing in my usual state, Blessed Jesus came for just a little and told me, daughter, temptations can be conquered easily because the devil is the most cowardly creature that can exist, and a contrary act, a contempt, a prayer, are enough to make him flee. In fact, these acts render him even more cowardly than he is. And in order not to bear that confusion, as soon as he sees the soul resolute in not wanting to pay attention to his cowardice, he flees terrified. Now, if the soul cannot easily free herself, it means that it is not only a temptation, but a passion rooted within the soul, which tyrannizes her together with the temptation. Therefore, she is unable to free herself, and where there is passion, the devil has more strength to make fun of the soul. And it was interesting to me also that this passage was talking about, you know, temptations and the evil one. I was thinking, well, in the fact, it's also, it kind of goes with Our Lady, because I mean, from a very early age, I always associated an image of Mary with her like a crushing the head of the snake, you know, of the serpent. So for me, like from the very beginning, I always like had that association in the sense that with always like this image of Mary and she's crushing the devil, like she's conquering over the devil. So I thought that was interesting that on this date, there was a passage, you know, about the common enemy. And with this, like, it kind of gave me hope in the sense, because it says temptations can be conquered easily. It made me think the fact that, you know, I hope I'm not saying anything wrong, but in a sense, temptation
is not like, it's not something physical. It's not something real unless we give in to temptation and commit the sin. Then it's something physical because we broke our covenant with God, like each and every one of us. You know, we're in covenant with God. We're in a state of grace. We're recognized as his children. You know, we're in everything. But every time we sin, even if it's venial, we weaken that covenant, that bond that we have with God. And then especially with mortal sin, you completely like break the bridge, so to speak, until we make repentance, go to confession, are resolved and all that. So listening to reading this passage, it just came to, well, temptations, it's not something physical. It's not something real unless you give in to it. So that was also kind of a source of hope because with temptation also, like it made me think that of a situation, yes, it's true. Like the devil knows and the demons know, you know, they were given because they were angels once. So they were given powers and they still retain those powers, even though they're fallen. So in a sense, they do know us, like they know our weaknesses. They know what we like, where we struggle with. And then that's how they kind of push our buttons in a sense to take us away from God. So in a sense, as we know, the devil's the prince of lies, you know, so with the temptation, he gives us the impression that we can't overcome it. You know, it's beyond our power, you know, and he makes it look like sound so good and everything. And, or, well, it's not really going to cause anyone problem or it's not that big of a deal. But in a sense, but it's true here. What he said is that a contrary act, a contempt, a prayer are enough to make him flee. So that goes to show you also how, in a sense, since temptation, along with this thought, since temptation is not something real, is it? It's not something physical. It's not something that we actually have done. It's something that we can completely avoid. In a sense, yes, it's really easy to rebuff or not give in to a temptation, unless, as he said later on, there's a passion rooted within the soul that tyrannizes her together with the temptation. Therefore, she is unable to free herself. And where there is passion, the devil has more strength to make fun of the soul, which is true because, again, like what we were saying before, like with temptation, since it's not something like an act that like you didn't give in to the act yet. So there is that you didn't open the door for evil to enter into you. So you still are in control. You still have the protection and the power of God within you. So that's the thing. Like whenever like you have like there's a passion or there's a past sin that you opened up the door to let him in. And of course, he's got an anchor. He's got his foot in the door, so to speak. So with this, and that explains, I think we were listening to an exorcist priest recently, and he was saying that in the old days, he recounted this one example. There was this town, a cloistered nun was given permission to leave her cloister to go in front of this person who was possessed in the town. All she did was a sign of the cross, like on herself. She just signed herself with the cross as if she was going to say a prayer, and the devil immediately left the person, just like that. But nowadays, this exorcist priest was saying it takes like a long time just to deliver someone. And then it goes to the fact that if we see how the world is today, well, imagine how much stuff going on, how many people are away from God, don't go to church, you know, and many times it was because of their upbringing. So it goes to show how much the devil has a root within us. Like he has his foot in the door. He's in us. So it makes it harder for us to give up, to not give in to temptations. But that's the beautiful thing about Lent. And especially we have this feast of Our Lady, and she's the mediatrix of all graces. She is the Immaculate Conception. She's the one who's crushing the head of the serpent, the one who brings, who tempts us. So in a sense, it's beautiful during this time of Lent of repentance and full of temptation and sacrifices and suffering and whatnot. Yet the church, you know, in her goodness, you know, through God inspiring her, we have these feasts. We have these moments during Lent, like a moment of respite, if you want to call it that, that we get away from the, you know, the suffering and the pains, and we just focus like on Our Lady or Saint Joseph. And just, it's a sign of hope, I think, like a sign of hope, like during Lent, like we see the goal, like what is the goal? To return to God, to live in this most holy divine will. And then when we die, our goal is we want to be saved. We want to go to heaven to be with God and Our Lady and all the angels and the saints and all of our brothers and sisters who are now departed.
I enjoyed that reflection. Yeah, it made me think of a lot of different things, especially, you know, with temptation. You're right. It's not an act, but, you know, we can actually help the other side by being drawn into these places that may influence us negatively. So, like, for example, if I don't want to drink, I probably shouldn't go to a bar, you know, like things like that. But I also thought of an analogy. It's almost like, you know, if you've ever had a tick. If you get the tick off right away, it's very easy. But the longer that tick remains on you and starts sucking the blood and burying his head or her head, I don't know if it's he or she or mixed, into your skin, it's more difficult to pull it out. So again, the longer we allow these temptations, these near occasion of sin to allow to Satan to be emboldened, I think that's what one thing we can do. But you're right. I think that was a really good reflection. A lot of other things I'm thinking about, but I don't want to blurt out. I just need to contemplate myself. Mothers, sisters?
I was just reading in volume 11. This was the 3rd of March 24th. I was feeling, Louisa was saying, I was feeling a certain discontent because of the privations of my always adorable Jesus when he came and told me, my daughter, what are you doing? I am the contentment of contentments. As I am in you and I feel some contentments, I recognize that they come from you. And therefore, I do not recognize myself completely in you because discontents are part of the human nature, not of the divine. While it is my will that what is human no longer exists in you, only my divine life. So our Lord, when we live totally in divine will, if we get to that point, we cannot experience discontent. He's living within us and he doesn't recognize himself because God cannot be discontent. Now, it's a paradox because a while ago, Sister Magdalena was talking about, what did you say? God could be disturbed in some way. Yeah. But he can't. So it's we can't understand it, how God, the language of God, you know, but he can't be in his divine nature. He can't be. He goes on to say, I add that I was thinking to myself about the sweet mama. And Jesus told me, my daughter, the thought of my passion never escaped my dear mama. And by dint of repeating it, she was completely filled with me. The same happens to the soul. By dint of repeating what I suffered, she arrives at filling herself completely with me. So I think, you know, we should take this very seriously during this time of Lent to really meditate on our Lord's passion. The most beautiful meditation is the 24 hours of the passion. If you just soak that in, read it, let it soak into your heart and soul. Absolutely. Put yourself in Jesus's place. That's what it's all about. It's different than any other passion book. It's different than any of Stations of the Cross. Realizing the interior sufferings of our Lord, which other passions just talk about his exterior sufferings. But if you put yourself within him and his interior sufferings were so much greater than his exterior sufferings, you can understand much in a much greater way what he did for each one of us.
And our participation is so much greater also with the hours of the Passion, Mother. Yeah, great, great advice. I also wanted to mention real quickly, Sister Scholasta, on that reflection she gave, it was also a paradox there also. You know, if temptation actually helps us strengthen our virtues. So we need sort of a combination here, because the more of these situations that we face, the more we can strengthen ourselves and be more resolved. But of course, we run that risk if we're weak to succumb to the other side. So it is a paradox. Again, nothing can happen good unless it's through and with the grace of God.
Temptation is a gift, just like the cross is a gift. It proves your love for God. So it's a gift. Yeah.
Well, you know, what you were saying, Peter, that whole thing, it made me think, in a sense, like the immune system. Our immune system, you know, when we get attacked by a germ, a virus, a cold, a flu, whatever, you know, yeah, like if we're not strong enough, we do succumb to it. But if we go through the tribulation, we strengthen then the immune system so we can like have a better chance the next time we come across it. So that's just what came to my mind when you were talking about that.
Oh, good. Yeah, you took it to another level. Now, can Sister Gloria RN cooperate that also? Is she with us today, Sister Gloria?
No, she's at Sister Gloria.
She's at Adoration. Right? Okay. Because we have a few sisters from a previous life in the convent right now. So I just love to tease them. But yeah, you're right. Again, and this is part of what we also see also, sister and mother, you know, and every time we're reading, we're journeying in the divine will, it starts to grow in us. If we want to, if we have that desire to know more, God's going to give us more. He's going to slowly feed us this rope. He can't give us too much with the food, because otherwise we're going to choke, but he's going to keep giving as long as we keep wanting. So we ought to just keep wanting.
Okay, so on March 25th, 1934, the Feast of the Annunciation, I was looking at this passage here from March 25th, how our Lord tells Luisa how prayer in the divine will acts as spokesperson, acts as spokesman for the acts of the divine fiat. And when I was reading this passage, I was thinking about just how powerful the Our Father is. But while my mind enjoy the enchanting sight of my little axe surrounded by the seas of the divine axe, my little love surrounded by the sea of the divine love that, with ancient and incessant voice, does not know how to ask anything other than fiat voluntas tua, on earth as it is in heaven, my sovereign Jesus, surprising me, all love told me, my blessed daughter, how sweet, consoling, powerful it is to hear my will with all its acts in the little act, love, and adoration of the creature, asking for the fiat to reign on earth. It makes use of the little love of the creature as spokesman in order to let it resound in all her acts, so as to let her ask for its kingdom. It does not want to do it alone, but it wants her as intermediary in order to do this. But do you want to know for what this prayer that contains divine power, value, and weapons that wage war on us with incessant ways serves? It serves to call God to earth to live in each creature. It serves to make my own divine will and all its works pray that it come to reign on earth. It serves to prepare the place in God himself for the creature. It is a divine prayer, prodigious, that knows how to obtain everything. So reading this, it just reminded me of just how powerful the Our Father prayer is, especially the part in the prayer where it says, fiat voluntas tua, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And whenever we pray the Our Father prayer, we should really remember that, yes, we want God's divine will to reign upon earth as it is in heaven. And then there's another passage I like to read here from February 16th, 1932, from volume 30. And the previous passage I read, it was from volume 33. And in this passage I'm going to read, Jesus talks about how each active creature has its place around God. After this, he remained silent, and then he added, my daughter, you must know that each active creature has its place around God, just as each star has its place under the vault of the heavens, the same for the active creatures. Each has its place, but which ones are those that set out on the royal road as property of the celestial fatherland and take the most honorable places and give divine glory to their creator? The acts done in my will. When one of these acts departs from the earth, the heavens bow down, all the blessed go to meet it, and accompany that act to the place of honor around the supreme throne. In that act, all feel glorified, because the eternal will has triumphed in the act of the creature and has placed its divine act in it. And it's important also to remember when reading this passage, just how powerful doing acts and rounds in the divine will are, and how even like the heavens bow down and even all the saints in heaven go to meet it, to accompany this act to the place of honor around the supreme throne. And continuing here, Jesus tells Luisa how the acts not done in his divine will do not sit out on the royal road, even if they're good. On the other hand, the acts that are not done in my will, be they even good, do not sit out on the royal road, They set out through winding roads and make a long stop to go to purgatory, and there wait for the creature so as to be purified together by dint of fire. And when they are done with being purified, then do they set out for heaven to take their place, not in places of prime order, but in secondary places. Do you see the great difference? The first acts, as soon as they are formed, don't even remain together with the creature, because, being things of heaven, they cannot remain on earth, and therefore they immediately take their flight into their fatherland. Not only this, but all the angels and saints claim into heaven as their own thing what has been done in the divine will, because everything that is done by it, both on earth and in heaven, is all property of the celestial fatherland. Therefore, each little act of hers is claimed by the whole of heaven, because they are all founts of eternal joys and beatitude, which belong to them, the complete opposite for one who does not operate in my will. And that just reminds me of how powerful just one act in the divine will is, and how it's no longer ours, but it's heaven's property.
Hi, Grace.
I was just reading in volume 28. This is the 20th, March 23rd, 24th. It says, Luis was saying, then I continue to follow the acts in the divine fiat. And I thought to myself, I'm always back to the start, repeating the long story of my acts in the divine volition, the long sing-song of my I love you. But what are the effects of it? Oh, if I could obtain that the divine will be known and reign upon earth, at least it would be for me as so much the better. But while I was thinking of this, my beloved Jesus clasped me in his divine heart and told me, my daughter, firmness in asking forms the life of the good that is asked for. It disposes the soul to receive the good that she wants and moves God to give the gift that is asked for. More so, since with so the many repeated acts and prayers that she has done, she has formed within herself the life, the exercise, the habit of the good that she asks for. God, won by the firmness of her asking, will give her the gift, and finding in the creature, by virtue of her repeated acts, as though a life of the gift that he is giving her, he will convert the good asked for into her nature in such a way that the creature will feel herself as a possessor, victorious in feeling, transformed into the gift that she received. Therefore, your asking incessantly for the kingdom of my divine will forms in you its life, and your continuous I love you forms in you the life of my love. And since I have given you the gift of both, one and the other, you feel within yourself as if your nature felt nothing other than the vivifying virtue of my will and of my love. Firmness in asking is the assurance that the gift is yours, and asking for the kingdom of my divine will for all is the prelude that others can receive the great gift of my supreme fiat. Therefore, continue to repeat and do not tire. So we should be asking for this gift on a daily basis, asking continually, please give me the gift of living totally in your divine will. He won't say no. You know, what does a child do? They beg. When the mother says no, they keep begging. I'm not saying it's the best thing for a child to do, but you know, that's what they do. They beg. And finally, the mother, to shut the child up, gives the child what the child wants. You know, we can beg God. Just keep asking, you know, ask and you shall receive. So, you know, I just encourage everybody to pray for that gift over and over and over again, and God will give it to you.
And I think I remember reading in one of the volumes where Jesus wants us to keep asking because it means that we realize that we need it. You know, it's like when we stop asking, we're starting to rely on ourselves. But when in everything we do, we keep asking, I need your will, please give me your will. That means that he can trust us to not trust ourselves, that we're relying totally in him.
Very well put. And that actually means we believe. You're right. You're totally right, Sister Mother. You know, just to recap, you know, Jesus tells us what are the four things that we need to do, in essence, to receive this gift. One is we need to be in the state of grace. Two, we need to ask for the gift, like we just talked about. Three, we need to have an ardent desire, and we know what that is, you know, based on what Jesus tells us throughout the volumes. And we have to have an upright intention. We have to want this for everyone, not just for ourselves. And again, we have a beautiful opportunity. We don't know exactly when the triumph of the Immaculate Heart will occur. All we do know is almost guaranteed that we are living it right now, every single day. And perhaps something special tomorrow is going to happen. I know something special is going to happen. Will we see it right away? Probably not. Maybe not. I don't know. But, you know, Jesus tells us also patience. We don't have time to read it, but this was startling when I read this, and I didn't read it in quite a while, but I read it last night and I said, wow, I'm really missing something here. In volume 4, January 31st, 1901, Jesus explains the greatness of the virtue of patience. In fact, he says it's the virtue of virtues. It's the virtue that allows all of the virtues to flower. So again, please, volume 4, January 31st, 1901, Jesus explains the greatness of the virtue of patience. So we need to have patience tomorrow after the consecration. Perhaps something like Paul and what happened to St. Paul and St. Mary Magdalene will occur. And if not, we have patience, we have trust, we have belief. We know what's going to happen. And as Our Lady tells us, you know, be close to her because she is going to be close to her son. So we're going to end with prayer, if we may, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, in all our actions, let us attune our ears and listen to our Heavenly Mother, who says to us, do whatever my Son tells you, so that we may fulfill the divine will in all things. And all of you, we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. Ciao, everyone. Thank you, Radio Maria.